Ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages, the Anchor Podcasting Network is proud to bring you the Someday award-winning podcast, Double Tap, presented by Mulraney Media. I am your host, Mike Mulraney. This is the podcast for best practices in social media, news affecting the industry, and a discussion about freelancing and consulting. On today's episode, we'll be discussing what happens when your 9-to-5 becomes a 9-to-8, planning your social media management and advertising campaign, potential changes to Facebook's video advertising, some useful websites for social media management, consulting, digital marketing, and content creation, and some of the ethics behind graphics and logo branding. To start off today's episode, I wanted to talk about something that happened to me late last week. Now, when I started going out on my own here with Mulraney Media at the beginning of this year, I kind of resolved to myself in a New Year's resolution that if I was going to do this, I was going to do this all the way. I was going to post every day. I was going to make sure I created content. I would work on this every single day. Mulraney Media is my side hustle that I hope one day to become my main hustle. That I could just work with this company full time, recording podcasts, securing clients, creating content, running ad campaigns, the whole nine. And when you're trying to start your own small business or consulting firm on the side, your 9-to-5 might end up taking away more of your time than you expect. And last week, I had originally planned to put out episode 1 of the podcast on Monday. But I ended up getting stuck at work. I ended up putting in about an 11-hour day. And I missed my opportunity to post something on Facebook and post something up on Instagram. And it kind of broke my streak of a little over a week of getting content out every single day. And that was incredibly frustrating for me because I took it so seriously. What I made sure I did do was get right back up on the horse the next day, finish the podcast overnight, edit it, learn more about Anchor and its affiliates and where it was going to be. And I made sure I posted it up on the Facebook page a little after midnight into Tuesday. And I didn't put it up on Instagram until, I believe, the end of the day Tuesday. Establishing a set schedule and establishing a routine is so important in not letting your business fall by the wayside when you get too busy. And this was the first kind of real test of that for me. And I'm glad that I ended up staying up late till about 1 o'clock in the morning, finishing the podcast, getting content out the next day, and not ruminating on the fact that I had missed a day and would I end up having to try to put up content twice on the next day. And would people be upset if in my Instagram and Facebook posts I mentioned that the podcast episode 1 would be coming out on Monday? And that made it a lot easier this week when we were hit with a large winter storm up here in Albany, New York. And I ended up losing a day to digging out my car and moving my car with the snow emergency and bringing my girlfriend to the airport. And cleaning and fixing things up around the house and getting ready for the work week. It helped me this week too in knowing that if I didn't make it Monday, I could reestablish my schedule on Tuesday. That's one of the things that with a side hustle, with something you're trying to grow, you want to stick with it. You want to be persistent. And that way when days when your 9-to-5 becomes a 9-to-8, you're far more prepared to reestablish your schedule on the next regular day where you can get your content up, you can get your Facebook pages ready, you can pitch to more clients, you can finish your project campaigns, or you can finish your project proposals and get your business back up and running and marketing itself through your own social media sites, through your own podcast, through your own Fiverr. You don't want to fall so far behind that you're not posting and you're not in the forefront of people's minds or computer screens or phone screens. This week and last week, I was able to do that, and it felt so very good to get back on schedule. And that's the biggest thing I can say to all of you, is that if you lose a day, it's not a big deal. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep moving forward, and you'll end up establishing a routine that helps grow your business and helps grow your digital outreach, which in the end will help you attract more clients. Let's talk about creating your project proposal and what you're going to pitch to a prospective client. Now, this past week, I worked on a project proposal for a green landscaper. And the first thing I always like to do when I get a new client or a new prospective client is to write out everything on a legal pad. And that's kind of old school, and I'm sure there are programs on a Mac or Windows or through Google Suite where you can do something like this similarly. But I like the feeling of writing it all out and seeing it on a legal pad. So what I do is I take everything I know about the client and what the advertising campaign is going to be on, and I open up Facebook Ads Manager, and I begin to just type out what I think the target audience is going to be. And for this, since it's landscaping, we're looking for homeowners, people of homeowner age, and we're geo-targeting it to an area in which this landscaper can drive to, and we're looking to get people interested in sustainability and environmentalism. And you just kind of work your way through Facebook Ads Manager, typing in different sustainability words or environmentalism words in the detailed targeting. You can make your best guess into an age range there. People familiar and worked longer times with public relations will tell you the hardest part of any of these campaigns is finding out what your customer audience is. And then for Facebook marketers, trying to correlate that with the Facebook detailed targeting tools. I like to have zip codes in terms of my geo-targeting. I never like to do cities within a certain mileage. If you're looking to target just a county or just a city, I always like to go that location exactly, or zip codes. A lot of my targeting is done through zip codes. It's what I'm personally very comfortable with. You may have success in other ways, congressional districts or the city radius. I'm not really a fan of that. I like to really get down to the zip code level. And from there, I just do a lot of my homework. I find out if this is a green upscale landscaping, which zip codes does this correspond with? Are there any places where I can cut individual zip codes out in order to get the most people seeing the most content for my client's dollar amount? And then I go through and I try to find out what's an appropriate thing to charge this individual. For myself, I have a flat rate, and then I charge a flat percentage of the total marketing buy. And then I make a judgment whether or not it's worth it to assume this small or large of a project, and whether it's worth the time of my consulting firm. And then from all that, when you write all that stuff out and see it in black and white, and you write it with your own hand, you kind of have an idea of whether or not it's going to be worth the initial investment and whether this is a client you want to work with. You don't necessarily have to take every client that comes along, and every client and every consulting agency isn't going to be a good fit. Last week, I had the opportunity to sit down with this individual, get to know their project, get to know their budget, and that all helped me out a great deal in creating this ad campaign. When it comes to creating or pitching the project proposal, I personally like to go through Google Drive and create a presentation through there. Everybody has a Gmail address. Everybody can scroll through and consume it. Not necessarily everybody has Keynote or Mac, or not necessarily everybody has the Microsoft Office suite or as up to date of an Office suite as you have. So Google Drive, having everything online like that, makes it very easy to send and receive these kinds of documents. I always like to send these documents first thing in the morning. If they have to make this decision with a partner, it gives them all day to plan it out. It gives them all day to schedule a lunch or a dinner or to get their financial situation in order, and then either have them accept the deal, enter into a negotiation, or refuse or request more time. I never like to send something overnight because it pushes the scheduling into another day. If you promised it at the end of that day, then it's important to get it out to them. But if you can, I would always try to get things out in the morning as early as possible. Perhaps they can discuss it over coffee or lunch or have a company dinner. But that's how I handle it. I write it all out. I develop a target audience. I play around with Facebook ad targeter. I see the potential Facebook likes or reach across an audience. And then I make the judgment of whether or not these individuals should add other accounts like an Instagram or a Twitter and how that could help them. But I never oversell. I try to pitch them only what they can need and what could have tangible benefit. That way you don't put yourself in a hole of creating bad content and having bad content associated with your brand and your client's brand. Do your homework, make it worth it, map out the costs, write it out. Those are my steps to planning your campaign. And if you have it another way, if there's anything you find successful, I would appreciate you leaving a voicemail to the show where we can discuss it in greater length on next week's episode. This week's social media in the news segment is headlined by potential changes to Facebook's video advertising. Facebook put out a press release this week discussing potential changes to video advertising in pre-roll and mid-roll advertisements. Now, we have all been on the Dodo Facebook page seeing a pig that gets raised with dogs that gets to live indoors, or we've seen highlight videos of something like Barry Sanders' top 15 greatest runs or the top 15 cutters by Mariano Rivera. And in the middle of these videos, you get an advertisement that might necessarily clash with the video itself that you're watching. And in an effort to better protect advertisers, Facebook is going to allow for kind of a blacklist of sites where if you're buying advertisement, you don't want your kind of content to appear with these certain pages or these apps. And then beyond that, Facebook is going to put out a 5-category potential ban list where if you don't want your brand or your client's brand to be associated with certain topics, it doesn't have to be, and you can prevent it from appearing in some places or in some videos that could be damaging for your brand or for your advertising. And when Facebook goes out there and does something like this to protect us, to ensure that our clients' money is being spent to the best of our ability, and ensuring that each time a client interacts with our ads or a customer interacts with our ads, that they're getting the best possible experience. Now, these five topic areas that Facebook is going to introduce down the line are debatable social issues. So these are topics related to debated social issues such as religion, politics, immigration, and more. Now, Facebook over the last year has rolled out a lot of safeguards in terms of political advertisement, and they've made a lot of hires regarding political advertisement. So this is one area that I feel could be rolled out a little earlier than the other four. If your brand likes to stay away from hot button issues or doesn't want to alienate certain segments of the population, this is one of the first things that you would want to click. You don't want to be involved in these hot topic issues. You don't want your brand, which may believe in one side of a hot topic issue, to appear in an ad in which the other side is shown favorably or unfavorably. It's best to kind of avoid this kind of advertisement, because when you see these kind of Facebook ads, you don't want to be associated with any side of an issue that your brand isn't prepared to be on the side of. The next topic is mature. These include violence, firearms, sexual content, profane language, and more. If you're a family-friendly brand, you don't want to be associated with profane language or sexual content. If you are a brand on one side or the other of firearms or firearm issues or the representation of firearms in the media or press, you don't necessarily want to be on a video exclaiming for the other side. It's a lot like debatable social issues. Or if you're involved in a particularly violent film with firearms and you're a family-friendly brand, again, you don't want to be appearing in the mid-roll of a violent movie preview. The next one is tragedy and conflict. These are topics that contain emotional or physical suffering, such as crime, illness, bullying, and more. One of the things that always scared me about pre-roll or mid-roll advertising on Facebook is if there's something like a video about the damage caused by a tsunami or one of history's dictators or monsters, the last thing you want your brand to be associated with is feelings of negativity or feelings of sadness. And these are kinds of things where in the middle of your dish soap advertisement, do you really want to be in a tsunami video or in a video about one of history's monsters? It doesn't necessarily fit, and it doesn't necessarily elicit the kind of reaction that your advertisement should have or that your client wants your advertisement to have. The fourth category is dating. Now, these are websites and apps that have been categorized as dating. Your swipey apps, your Match or eHarmony. Some of these dating apps might have a reputation that you don't necessarily want your brand associated with. And what we've seen here on kind of the social dating apps is a pushback saying, we have more friendship components of it. You don't necessarily have to swipe for a dating opportunity. You can also use our apps to meet people. It doesn't necessarily have to be dating. And I feel like that's a hedge to where a lot of these social media advertising campaigns are going to go. So they're trying to keep their ad revenue flowing. But it's easy to see how a lot of clients wouldn't want to be associated with hookup apps or the perception of hookup apps. So that's something to keep on your radar as well. And finally, the fifth category is gambling. With the Supreme Court overturning a federal gambling ban, we're seeing gambling pop up in more places other than Las Vegas, like New Jersey. And many brands and clients will have a particularly feeling about gambling. They might not want to be associated with websites where winners receive money or prizes. They might not want to be associated with gambling apps or appear in gambling videos. And that's something else that Facebook is providing us with that I think will do a lot in protecting our clients and protecting our advertising dollars from being placed in videos where clients do not wish them to be placed. And for us, audience management and audience perception of whether or not they're walking away with the feeling our ads want them to be walking away with. So this is something good that's coming out from Facebook. They do not necessarily have a timeline yet, but I look forward to these five topics being out there to protect our advertising dollars and a potential blacklist of sites to prevent your video advertising from appearing with their content. Let's talk about useful websites and websites that can help you establish your business, grow your business, help you as a freelancer, help you as a social media manager and marketer. Places like Reddit. And I haven't always been a big Redditor. I've only been there for a year or two. I'm still learning a lot about it myself. But one of the things that has struck me about Reddit over the last couple of years is how friendly of a community it is. If you're in a place like our podcasting, where I learned about Anchor, that helped me establish this podcast, which helped me find out what kind of room I should record the podcast in. Do high ceilings matter? Do lights matter? What kind of equipment could I need down the road? Our podcasting was incredibly helpful for me. Our digital marketing is a place where digital marketers from all over the country and all over the world communicate what best practices they've used and what kind of skills they've acquired and what's going on with Facebook ads or Twitter ads or Instagram ads or Google YouTube ads. It's an incredibly friendly community. Our small business owners talking about LLCs and how to file your taxes and what happens if your small business fails or what happens when you have hardship. There's hardship stories, there's success stories. There's people looking out to have other small businesses succeed. It's the kind of community I'm hoping to establish with this podcast, where people call in and tell stories about successes and failures and best practices. Our entrepreneur, every once in a while, somewhere in there, you'll see a list of best websites. One of the only bookmarks I have on my computer that I always want to make sure I can get back to is an Our Entrepreneur post about the best websites for establishing a business. It's things like WordPress templates, becoming a better writer, finding icons, finding stock photos, some graphic design work, all kinds of free and interesting websites that can help you and help you become a better person and a better all-around marketer, small business owner, all of it. And this is what somebody had free time and compiled on their own accord because it helped them become successful. A place like Our Useful Websites, where people from all over the internet will say, hey, here's a new website that can help you learn Spanish for free. Or, hey, here's a website that can help you create simple graphic design work. Here's a website that can help you learn how to use a semicolon. It's all these kind of interesting websites. Some of them might apply to your work, some of them might not, but everything there is actually useful to someone somewhere. Some of the other useful websites that I enjoy are places like Social Media Today and Social Media Examiner. You should be visiting these websites every day for 30 minutes each to learn more about what's changing and what's important in our field of social media management, content creation, and social media marketing. Subscribe to their newsletters, check them out every day, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you have to do. These two sites are extremely useful to any social media person or any public relations person today. Website like grandplaces.com, a list of locations on Instagram. Take a look at them in advance. Which Instagram location will provide you the most likes or is the most visited? A website like Canva, like Canvas with no S. Canva is amazing. We're not necessarily at a period where every company or every client recognizes that graphic design work and social media management and marketing are two different skills. You see a ton of job listings on LinkedIn or Indeed talking about, we want people with proficiency in Adobe Suites and 3 to 5 years experience as a Facebook marketer or digital marketer or SEO person. It's just one of those things that we're not there yet. The field is still too new. And Canva is so easy to use. It's so user-friendly. You can create all kinds of graphics with it. I created the graphic for this podcast. I created a lot of graphics for the Mulroney Media Instagram account. Canva is so useful. It's so easy to use. It's free. There's some premium features. By and large, I love the free version. If there's a graphic that you want to use and it costs money, I've never seen anything cost more than $1. It's an incredible resource for people who are not strong graphic designers or not yet making the kind of money to pay for an Adobe suite that they might not really be that adept at using. One of the best places for stock photos, Pexels.com. It's like pixels, but with an E, P-E-X-E-L-S. One of the best stock photo sites on the web. Everything is free with the option of attribution to the photographer. But by and large, everything there for commercial use, for non-commercial use, it's an incredible resource. If there's a website that you like to use, let's establish this as kind of our own friendly corner of the internet, corner of the podcast community. Call in, leave a voicemail, and let me know what you use. Let's help everyone become better at what they do. The last segment for this episode is kind of a what grinds my gears outrage of the day throw-in segment here. And it's something that occurred to me over Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday. And that's, I was seeing these great quotes from this great and influential man in terms of American politics and global politics, a hero of the 20th century. And at the bottom of these really inspiring quotes, and quotes that made you think about the racial injustices in America's history and the importance of service to one another. And at the bottom of those quotes was a brand's logo, where they had created this image or put together this quote picture, and they felt the need to put their logo at the bottom of it. And there's something about that that just feels unethical to me. And there's something about that that feels like it's misconstruing the purpose of the day. And that there are some days like Martin Luther King Jr. Day, or Pearl Harbor Remembrance, or Patriots Day on 9/11. There should be some days and some holidays that are so important that we can do without your brand being on one picture you create. That it's not about your brand or your client. It's about this man or these people. Important moments in time and of history. That you don't have to plug your brand every second through. And it's something that irked me throughout the day on Monday, that social media managers and brands and marketers should not be putting their logo on things like this. And it might sound petty or small, but this is just something that had me feeling unethical or with a bad taste in my mouth, a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach, that brands were using this moment to continue to get out their logo or their individual client's brand? And I think those are really important questions to answer. And I think moving forward as social media managers and marketers, we should think about the ethics of what we're doing and think about the meaning of these days as what they are, larger than ourselves and larger than our clients. All right, that'll do it for episode 2. I am Mike Mulraney. This is Double Tap, presented by Mulraney Media. I hope that you will find us on Instagram, Mulraney Media, and you will see a preview of each podcast every week on IGTV, discussing one of the topics that we'll be discussing in length on the podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Mulraney Media. You can find us on Fiverr if you're looking for a small taste of our services as Mulraney Media. And you can find this podcast on Anchor and its affiliates. We still have some places that are pending, but by and large now, the podcast can be found on Anchor, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, and Spotify, the home of millions of songs, now houses thousands of podcasts. You can check me out on any of those places. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to comment. Be sure to leave feedback. Call into the show. Leave some voicemails. Let me know what you think. I always appreciate it. We will see you next week.